Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 29, Paul Rutherford. Paul is the co-founder of ScanPower, the scanning, listing, inventory management company that many of us are familiar with if you're into Amazon and FBA or even just merchant fulfillment. It's a tool that allows you to add to source products by scanning their barcodes, their UPCs, and looking them up in Amazon's database. Also allows you to list these items for sale on Amazon and takes a lot of the steps, the manual steps out of that process and prints labels and all that kind of thing. Recently, they've added accounting features and stuff. And so Paul is the chief technology officer and co-founder of ScanPower, and not as visible as Chris Green, but clearly well-intentioned and very caring, and spends a lot of time talking about customer service and his approach to it. In this segment, we talk about him and Chris met, which many of us know the story, but we talk about Paul's past and how he came about into this and how he's just loved being an entrepreneur pretty much his whole life. So let's get into the podcast. Hey, just a quick note, whenever you're talking to a technology guy, guess what's going to mess up the technology? It took us 4 calls to get this podcast recorded, and I don't know if it was storms or what was causing it, but it is a little choppy here and there, and I had to slice and splice some things together, but I think that the content is strong, and I think you're going to really enjoy it, so just bear with a little technology blips. Hey, after all, we're talking to a technology guy. All right, welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and tonight's guest is a different type of guest than my normal guest. Normally, I'm interviewing e-commerce sellers, and well, this person is an e-commerce seller, so I should be a little more clear about that, but this case, it is truly one of the founders and developers of ScanPower, Paul Rutherford. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, Stephen. Nice to be on your show.
And I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're the visible face of ScanPower, right? Everybody knows Paul Rutherford from ScanPower? No, maybe not?
No, not really. I'm the less visible face.
You're the less visible face, but the brains. Chris would say that for sure. You know, Chris Green, we were talking a little offline before we got started. Chris is everywhere. I mean, he just runs. Going to Texas, as you said, he has some family down there. He's going to be in Ecom Chicago in a couple weeks where I'll get to see you guys. Just saw him down in down in Louisville at CES. I noticed, Paul, that you guys seem to be everywhere. I know Chris is more so, but even you, I was surprised at how many events. I saw you in Baltimore last year, I guess it was, and Kentucky this year. I'm going to see you in Chicago in a couple weeks. How much traveling do you do in addition to Chris?
I usually go to the same shows that Chris goes to, and part of that is, you know, that gives me an opportunity to sit face to face with him. We, you know, live in different states and, you know, don't always talk every day or, you know, multiple times a day. So I try to travel about once a month. It's really important for me to get out and talk to sellers and, you know, get that face to face time and hear their troubles and hear their successes. So
it is quite interesting to me that you are so approachable. You're so right there. Hey, tell me what's going on, Steve. I can help you. Let me figure that out. Or you can explain why it's occurring. I don't see many other companies putting, quite frankly, the two big owners of the company right out into the public like that. I really applaud you for that, because I think that that's probably one of the things that really separates you from a lot of other companies.
Yeah, and I think that's just who we are. I'm, you know, kind of considered the technologist of the company. I appreciate spending time with people, and, you know, I don't think I would want to run a business where all the customers were faceless. I enjoy, you know, sitting down and talking to people, and I think that's what's drawn me to this business, is helping people solve problems through technology. The other thing that I think people who know Chris understand this after a while, but he is very technically savvy. And so while he may not, you know, be a developer, he may not program, he may not spend his time, you know, wrenching on servers. He has a really good grasp of technology, and I think, you know, that's just who we are. We like people. We think very deeply about how technology impacts us, and we're drawn to new technology. So, you know, it's just the way we fit together and how we like to run our business.
Would you say that's similar for the whole culture of your business, of everybody in the business?
Oh, it varies. You know, we have some introverts, and we also have, you know, some extroverts. So I think everyone, we try to have a culture where everyone kind of comes at it from the perspective of our users.
I've met your extrovert, Ashley. She'll appreciate that one.
Yeah.
she's shy on the inside like me. That's what I always say. So let's go back, though. You know, I said there had to be a Paul before ScanPower. What was, you know, did you think that you were going to be an entrepreneur? Because you really are. I mean, I know you're a developer and all that kind of jazz, and you handle the business side, but you're still an entrepreneur in some ways. And where did you get your start at? How did Paul Rutherford progress to ScanPower?
Well, Stephen, this will date me, but from my first job as a paper boy, serving customers and, you know, keeping my books on an Atari 400, through to my professional life, I've spent my time, you know, building products, using technology that streamline business, you know. And so I think I've always been drawn to small business and to the technology side, majored in computer science in college. But yeah, if you want, I'll tell you the story of how Chris and I met. He posted a job on Elance for a program to print individual labels and list books to send into FBA.
What year was that?
That was in 2008. And so it was 2009 when we actually got together. I wrote the first version of what was the original FBA Power program to do this for Chris, and we had conversations, and pretty soon I was convinced of just how huge the opportunity was for selling on Amazon and using FBA. And so we partnered up, and we rewrote the original program and did a really rigorous beta test. Karen Bergsagel, she was one of our original beta testers, and we had 20 others, and we went through about a 4 or 5 month process of making it work for listing efficiently and getting items into FBA. And then soon after that, we developed an Android version of ScanPower Mobile, and then launched at SCOE in 2010, and the rest is history.
You had to be very close to being one of the first to market. I know there were some other companies out there back in those days, but, you know, to hear Chris tell, he was involved in a lot of the work, which is interesting because he's so outgoing. But he, as you said, he's pretty technical.
Oh, yeah. He was our primary tester, obviously had a big input into the product design for the first 2 or 3 versions. He was doing support while I was doing development once we launched. He was constantly out there testing all the apps, particularly the mobile apps, and giving feedback on the data, and, you know, still does to this day. You know, not in the same capacity, but, you know, I got a text from him today where he somehow found the ASIN for an Amazon Prime membership and scanned it into our mobile app, and for some reason there was no price and it was number 2 in the sales ranking. So that's the kind of stuff that he lives for, you know.
Oh, I know he does. And I just can't imagine what it's like to try to tame and temper that outgoing idea machine, because he is an idea machine. Well, I'm interested to talk about – I want to take us to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the things going on with ScanPower, Amazon in general, with programming and how it's impacting you, changes they're making, how you go about approaching that. I just think there's some really interesting things we can talk about. So let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll start talking about that. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. Hey, just a quick note, whenever you're talking to a technology guy, guess what's going to mess up the technology? It took us 4 calls to get this podcast recorded, and I don't know if it was storms or what was causing it, but it is a little choppy here and there, and I had to slice and splice some things together, but I think that the content is strong, and I think you're going to really enjoy it, so just bear with a little technology blips. Hey, after all, we're talking to a technology guy. All right, before we jump back in this segment, this is where the rubber meets the road. We spend a lot of time talking about specifics of Amazon and changes that they make and how they affect a company like ScanPower. We deal with the box issue. I know that's a big issue that's up and coming, and we need to get through Q4, but once we get to that January timeframe, we are going to have to start figuring this out. So it's great to know that these guys are already working on it and trying to come up with the best solution for us. And I think that's a big deal. We spend a lot of time talking about how ideas and changes get made and, you know, their approach to it and the developer's approach. And I think it's really interesting. And I think it's something that we might take a little bit for granted. I'm really interested to hear more about how they're moving into more of a reporting system enhancement, more changes for the purchasing system. He describes that they're looking at a purchase order inventory management system where basically, you know, you put in a floor and you put in an inventory point and it just automatically places an order for you. In theory, could automatically send it right to the warehouse. So reducing touch points again. So I think this is a great discussion, and I think it's directional. So I think this can give you something to start thinking about as you look next 6 to 12 months out in your business. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Paul Rutherford from ScanPower, and I'm just blown away with, you know, I guess I've been a ScanPower user for a couple of years, I guess, now, and it's different today. It's so different today than it was even a year ago. Is this business changing monthly for you?
Oh, it's changing daily. we talked about this before we came online, but, you know, Amazon wanting to now know exactly what's in every box that you send to them, not just every shipment, but every box. Every probably 3 to 4 months, they make a change in their fees or a change in how, you know, something really simple like a weight based calculation for an item is figured. And that, you know, that flows through all of our code. You know, we're trying to help you determine, is this item profitable? And so we have to know how much does it weigh? What are the weight based fees? What are the, you know, what's the commission? And so it really is a challenge to keep up and to continually, you know, keep 5 different products up to date, given how often Amazon changes.
I think Amazon is in the business for their customers. And, you know, unfortunately, I as a seller and you as a developer whose product I use really aren't in the design when they're designing their systems, right? And I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know I don't like it. I'm sure you can't stand it because, you just figure something out and they change it completely. But ultimately, aren't they really doing what's best for the customer in their eyes?
Yeah, for sure. And while it's not always the most comfortable position to be in, learning about something after it's, you know, trickled down through their corporate processes and they've, you know, oftentimes already tweaked the experience for the customer and then they retroactively, you know, add that capability to Seller Central or to their marketplace web services, APIs. It can be very frustrating, but at least the philosophy is clear that the customer comes first.
I again, I still believe that that ultimately has to be the thing that they do because, you know, you guys are smart. You'll figure a way around it. And that's with this box issue. And we should talk about the box issue because I know it's the most current issue. Once you guys figure out how to deal with the box issue, next month it's going to be a bag issue. It's going to be a – so I know we're hyped up on this box issue because this is the newest, most current one. So basically Amazon's telling us as sellers, hey – you know, Steve, great, you're sending in 5 boxes and you're giving me a list of what's in those 5 boxes. Now, take it a step further and say, okay, these are the widgets X, Y, Z, W, whatever, in this box, number 1, and in box number 2, you have A, B, C, D, and box 3. And the goal, I guess, is to get rid of this lost inventory issue, which is a huge issue because I send them a file saying I sent them in 200 items. They get 5 boxes. They're showing 180 items, and they're saying, wait a second, are we missing a box? What happened? Did items fall out of the box, or did you not send it in? Is that really what this is going to try and do?
I think so. You know, it gives them a more granular view of what you're sending, and I think helps their folks resolve questions about why something didn't show up when it should have. But I think it also puts some more onus on the sellers to, you know, do what was previously handled by Amazon. So I think it will introduce, you know, it may, you know, remove some efficiencies for sellers as they, you know, try to keep the box list up to date as they're doing box Tetris, as Chris Bond and others like to call it. So I think it's probably, you know, worth looking at some ways that we can streamline it for people. I think we're going to be forced to do it within, you know, the first quarter of next year. So, you know, we're certainly looking at ways that we can do this without impacting our, you know, the efficient listing flow of our customers.
Interesting. I use inventory placement. And the reason I do is there was one time I had 14 different warehouses being loaded. And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, literally, I had 14 different boxes and multiple boxes going to certain warehouses and other ones. And some had one item in. I mean, it was so crazy to try to manage. I can see how things end up not in the right shipment. You know, 14 different shipments going at the same time. And it was forced upon me. Now, with inventory placement, I'll have 2 or 3 usually, and it's a lot more to manage. So you're going to tackle this from a developer, right? So us as the users, the paying customers are saying, we need help with this. We need you to help figure this out for me. So tell me how you're going to, you know, obviously this is bearing on your mind. You haven't figured out the perfect answer yet, or maybe you haven't. You're going to tell us what it is. Or how do you approach a big issue like this? Because this issue is today's issue, as I said. There'll be another issue next month. So tell us how you tackle this from the logical side.
Oh, I start almost at the physical side and block it out as if, you know, we're talking about a screenplay or a theater production. You know, I'd visualize the customer sitting at their processing station, you know, moving inventory to boxes. You know, how can I prevent them from having to go back to the computer when an item changes from one box to another? So real simple kind of visualization of how the customers are going to be moving inventory around and, you know, how it fits into our workflow in particular. It's different for, you know, different third-party products, but for ScanPower, we've always, you know, tried to improve and maintain a one-touch listing process. And so, you know, as you scan the UPC, you can enter the price, you can enter the cost, you can print your label, set condition, anything like that that you need to do to get the item in a shipment. We try to make that a one-touch process. So now we've introduced another touch by having to potentially, you know, shift an item to another box where we're tracking what box an item goes into. So, you know, I will say that we don't have this solved yet, but we're thinking of potentially another scanning step. So, you know, as something moves into a box, maybe we identify it there. As it moves from one box to another, we scan the FN SKU. So that's one approach. Another that's way more technical and I think maybe more error prone would be to actually take the dimensional properties of the items and kind of guide the user in which box to put things in. I think that's probably the higher tech of the two, but I think it's probably more error prone. So we're looking at a lot of different ways.
Yeah, because a 16 by 22 by 8 box, right, has X number of inches of space. But if the dimension of the other item going in isn't going to fit into that, or two of them only fit in that size box, and the box next to it's a 12 by 12 by 12, you know, I mean, I just can't imagine the math that would be involved. And the moving, as you say, wait, Paul's saying it's supposed to fit in this box, and it's not fitting. Uh-oh, what do I do? I could see a lot of challenges with that. I originally thought, you know, the same thing is that, or you could add a little field and say, okay, Steve, tell us how many boxes you think you're going to use, right, and just keep going. All right, I'm going to keep putting this in box number one as I enter, right, as I put in the price and as I put all that in. But wait, I've got 8 of them, so I'm going to put only four are going to fit in that box. What do I do with the next 4? Do I have to scan it separately? And then how does Amazon treat that? It adds them together. So I'm kind of perplexed. So I'm glad I don't have to figure this out yet. I'm glad there are a lot smarter people like you working on it. But it's really interesting. There isn't just an easy answer. Is that the way most of the changes go? Are generally most of them just not a simple, oh, just add another field or add a switch? Because these things have long tails to them, don't they?
They do. And particularly for the listing flow, you know, over the years, we've developed, you know, probably hundreds of combinations of, you know, different types of workflows that work the best for our customers. And so given the complexity of that process and all the different workflows we're supporting, you know, whether that's, you know, automatically print a label or don't automatically print a label, automatically price or don't automatically price, import a spreadsheet or list individually, you know, there really are hundreds of combinations. And each time Amazon comes with a new requirement, you know, we got to fold that in. We got to make it work for existing processes as best we can.
You know, Paul, when I look at what ScanPower offers and I compare it to all the other listing companies, which there are a bunch, or the prep and ship services, or the sourcing groups, or the training seminars, or the coaches that help coach you in this, you're selling time, right? Ultimately, that's the thing that you offer is utility. You give me value. And it must be an incredible challenge to maintain that utility, because if you can't offer it to me, I'm going to somebody else, because there are other options out there, right? So how do you address that? It's got to play into everything you're doing, especially because you guys are so approachable. You're right there on Facebook. Chris is right there on Facebook. You're always available. Chris will give you his cell number. You can text him anytime. And how do you maintain that utility while trying to give the best product possible and try to balance the two?
Well, I think it's a cultural thing, and probably one of the most important things that I do at ScanPower is help everyone, including the developers, understand that if we can't save people time, or if we introduce things in our products that increase the amount of time it takes for them to list or to source products, or to do anything running their e-commerce business, then, you know, we're not doing the right thing. We're not focused on the right thing. So all of us are very specialized. You know, each of us plays a role in ScanPower, and the developers in particular can't spend all of their time talking to customers and answering questions about the products. Otherwise, they wouldn't be innovating and developing new features and fixing things that need to be fixed. But I spend a lot of time being, you know, representing the customer to the developers and how a potential change might affect them.
Well, you even have a small seller account, and you have it for the right reasons that your developers can use too, where you're using the system. So you get to see when it's down for everyone else, it's down for you too. So you get to see the frustration. How does that help that whole process? I mean, are you sitting there saying, this added a little time, or it didn't add time, or we squeezed out some time? Can you walk us through that?
Sure. We typically make one or two trips a month to, you know, local retail establishments to, you know, buy product and make sure that each of us is, you know, still actively listing products, especially listing. I mean, I think all of us use the mobile app pretty regularly, but it's going through the process of identifying products, sourcing them, and then listing them in any of the many ways that Scanpower supports that kind of helps us hone in on what the customer experience is. But even that isn't as important as, you know, going to a conference and sitting down with a user and just listening and saying, oh yeah, you know, I heard an example of this from Chris Bond at CES. He has a guy who's kind of packing his boxes, but he's doing most of the listing. So, you know, there's this goes back to the box Tetris we talked about, but the way that this person packs a box is different than Chris's. And he, you know, talked about ways that we could, you know, help make that work better for him when, you know, part of that task is divided between two people. So it's both a combination of using the products ourselves and just spending a lot of time listening to customers.
And so will you now, as somebody's looking to add a new step or add a change to the system, or is that going to play into your decision-making in some ways? I mean, it has to, right?
Sure, and especially if we see it being something that others could gain efficiency from, you know, we're willing to add any feature or any change in the workflow that's going to help people run their businesses more efficiently. And that's ultimately what it's all about, because, you know, Chris and I talk about this all the time. Time is the only thing you can't hack, you know?
Right. Oh, I agree. So that's a great point. How do I go about, I have this brilliant idea that I'm like, man, I just wish Scanpower or a company would do this, you know, whatever this is, right? How do I go about getting that idea up to the decision makers? You know, I guess I could say to Chris, but Chris isn't the developer ultimately, right? I mean, if he thinks it's a good idea, I'm sure he would forward it on. But how do I get it to the right people that are really the ones who work day in and day out? How does that process work?
Well, we have this wonderful tool that we use called GitHub. And
okay.
GitHub is just a wrapper around a version control system. It's one that Linus Torvalds developed for Linux, but it allows you to track every single version of a program, every code change, but it also allows you to track what we call issues. So if you have a feature request, you log that with the support team, they'll create an issue in GitHub, and we'll go through a review process that includes, you know, myself, the developers, our project manager, and often if it's something that is new and, you know, comes from kind of outside of our fold, Chris might be involved as well. And so we go through a review process as we're setting out the roadmap for, you know, the products over the coming year. And these feature requests get reviewed based on, you know, a number of factors. And not all of them are business related. We've developed many, many features that don't necessarily add to our bottom line, but they add to the bottom line of our users.
Well, give us an example of one of those, because that's a good point. I'd like to hear about one.
Okay, so there used to be no way to, you know, print a label without going through the print dialog. And we had a customer who was trying to list in high volume, and, you know, they basically wanted to allow their pricing software to set prices. They just wanted to scan an item and have it automatically be listed in new condition and have the label print just for that item. So before, if you scanned an item and said, I've got five of these, you could have it, you know, automatically print five labels. But there wasn't this flow that allowed you to really efficiently process unsorted single items at a time and do thousands of those a day versus hundreds. And so, you know, we went through, you know, some refactoring of that code, which was, like I said, is very complicated. And we did this one-off feature that I believe only a handful of our customers use. And we're certainly not charging more for it. But it's something that allowed this company to get more products to FBA and increase the number of products that they processed every day.
It interests me that you paid attention to just one guy and you found enough time and you've made it work in your workflow. That says a lot about your company. You have five products right now, five streams of revenue coming in through, right? So let's walk through each one of them and what they, because I think I used almost all of them, but walk me through what they are and what you offer.
Sure. So we have two sourcing products. We have a mobile product that it's called ScanPower Mobile, runs on iOS and Android, and allows you to either use the camera on your phone or a Bluetooth scanner and quickly get a picture of what this product is selling for on Amazon, how many offers, what its rank is. And you can also input your cost and quickly see what your net profit on the item would be. And so that tool has been available pretty much since 2010. In 2012, we added a tool called Evaluator, which is a bulk version of this sourcing tool. It allows you to look at wholesale lists and closeouts and, supplier lists, anything where you have a lot of items that you want to evaluate quickly. And so it's a real simple interface. You upload a CSV. You can set some rules that kind of guide how we sort and filter the results. You can say, I don't want to compete with Amazon. I want to accept items that have no FBA sellers. I'm looking for a sales rank of 2,000 or 20,000. And you can set these rules to kind of help you quickly evaluate as you get the results in a spreadsheet form, which products that you want to source. And we have a lot of people who get value out of Evaluate, both themselves and having, hired help like VAs source the list for them and help them narrow down the products that they want to purchase. And then our flagship product is our listing product, which we've talked about a little bit before. It just makes it very efficient for you to get items into Amazon's fulfillment centers. And it supports hundreds of different workflows. As part of this, it's almost a separate product. We have a report set of features that's both accounting and reporting features. So you can track your cost of goods sold very efficiently. It's all tied in with the listing process. You can get sales reports. You can see which items have the highest margin, the best return on investment. You can find your duds. We have a new report coming out that says, what products represent 80% of my profits? And, often those will be a small number of products, but we'll help you hone in on those. In addition to supporting the normal expense reporting that you would look for in a QuickBooks package, we've added those features to ScanPower and let you just export a few reports at the end of the year and take them to your accountant and make the whole process pretty painless.
I think the dud report, as you're calling it, and until you figure out what you're going to – I think those utility tools are exactly the things that, me as a seller with, again, limited time. You're going to bring me more utility. It's just another add-on benefit, and it's just great that you guys are thinking that way, because I think that's the next level, for most people, is that I think the listing process, you do it for a little bit. There's a learning curve, but, with Dymo labelers now versus the old 30-ups, with all the different changes, it's really gotten a lot easier. But it's easy. That piece is easy. It's really trying to get your business model straight. And if you can start helping us manage that, boy, that's just great utility. And I see that being a real valuable tool.
Yeah, we're looking to build out, some of the features, and especially on the reporting side, that's a real weakness in running an Amazon business, because, Amazon can't give you these details. They don't know how much you're paying for inventory. They know what your best sellers are. But they might not always look at it from, your perspective, which was based on my investment, what's my return? And so we're working really hard to make that process, a 5-minute start of the day, look at the dashboard, look at the sales figures, take a quick peek at the sales details, sort it by, you know, margin, sort it by quantity, you know, look at the age of your inventory and realize, oh yeah, I got to get some of these consumable goods, you know, out of fulfillment centers before Amazon destroys the inventory. So some of those things that you would have to go to two or three different seller central reports to get.
And so let's talk about ScanPower of the future. What do we see in the next 6 to 12 months? What can we expect to see from ScanPower? What's your hope?
I think the two big things are much better expense and sales reporting and much better inventory management from the standpoint of, how am I going to manage this inventory that is part of a group of returns? And am I going to have Amazon, you know, return it to me? How am I going to handle, upcoming FBA fees? Just a much better sense of your sell-through rates. We're going to offer replenishment alerts, so you'll be able to set how much stock you want to keep of each inventory item and get alerts for when to send replenishment items. And on top of that, we're going to add some ordering or purchase order capabilities. So I know a lot of your listeners use wholesale suppliers, and they're trying to, you know, streamline their business and get more profit out of specific items. So we're gonna capture that flow from evaluating a wholesaler list to creating the purchase order with the supplier to making it possible for them to just ship the items to FBA on your behalf, and then creating the shipments for them. We're gonna streamline that whole process. So that's a big one that you should see before the end of the year, definitely in the next 6 months. And then secondly, we're going to build out, as I mentioned, better reporting features. Before the end of the year, you're going to be able to export anything that you'll need from ScanPower at tax time. So anything that would go into your Schedule C, going to the IRS, whether that's expenses or cost of goods sold, you're going to be able to one-click export those from ScanPower and, enter it into QuickBooks or give it to your accountant.
It's just great because there's a lot of people using a lot of fourth-party software trying to do some of those things, and it becomes unmanageable, quite frankly. It really does, and it's another one of those barriers to entry, because entry is pretty easy. It's that barrier to growth because you're stuck. You just can't, I spend so much time with this. Again, what does ScanPower offer? They don't offer all these services, and that we can call it whatever it is. You're buying time. So I really appreciate that. All right, let me ask you my normal question I ask people. What do you listen to or read to help you address these issues that you're running into? How do you keep your mind going? What's benefiting you that maybe our listeners might benefit from? Podcasts or books?
Well, there's two that came to mind when you asked that. One, I listen or read Benedict Evans' newsletter, which is the guy who works for Andreessen Horowitz as a venture capitalist. But he really has his eyes and ears on the pulse of the tech industry and covers Amazon a lot. So this helps me have one person's perspective, albeit a very smart person, on where Amazon is headed with their different offerings, and from Fire tablets to the Echo to Prime, and how that's helping Amazon run their business. So that's at ben-evans.com. And then sometimes I like to listen to things unrelated to e-commerce, but things related to entrepreneurship. So this past summer, I was listening to the Wright Brothers audiobook read by the author David McCullough. And it was just a fascinating look at, what these two partners, these brothers, did to overcome something that no one thought was possible, and solve problems in ways that, didn't involve 100 people in a laboratory working for 5 years. It was two guys in a bike shop with some rudimentary wooden models and some good ideas that just needed to be, you know, tested and validated. So I think that's a lot like what entrepreneurship is. It's, you know, feeling like you can change the world, but also being motivated and energetic enough to try it.
I love it. I think getting your mind in that frame of mind that you need, right? That's really what that does, is it gets you thinking like that. Because, you know, we get a little closed in. I always call it, I hate to use this term, incestuous group. You know, there's really a pretty small group in this world, you know, 10, 20,000 people. And so we kind of hear our own ideas, and we're not listening to the ideas of the market outside of us, because it's huge. I mean, it's massive, right?
It really is.
Really is. Okay, so final question I ask everyone. You know, this podcast is about people getting unstuck, helping them get unstuck, helping them move forward. They're selling $10,000 or $20,000 a month. They can't get past that point because of all the things we talked about, quite frankly. And I know you're doing a lot of things to try to help move them forward. But give us a tip or a trick that you've seen, use, best practice, whatever you could offer to help people move forward in their e-commerce business.
I think it goes back to what we talked about before. You have to figure out how you're spending your time, and whether that's, you know, sourcing inventory or listing inventory, or even just running your business from the standpoint of managing employees, or maybe doing too much of the work yourself. So I think you have to step back, and you need to spend an hour or two. You know, beginning of the week is probably not good, but take a Tuesday and step back and turn off email and turn off Facebook and really spend enough time to figure out what are the things that you're doing that are the most profitable for your business, and what are the things that you're doing for the business that are profitable but you don't enjoy, and figure out a way to, you know, turn that knob of enjoyment a little higher and turn the profitability knob a little higher. And you know, I think, like I said, ScanPower can help in a few of those ways, but in particular, you know, what inventory that you're selling is the most profitable. And even if it's really profitable, if it takes you forever to source it and to get it into Amazon fulfillment centers, you know, maybe have a plan for how that inventory is going to be replaced with something that's less time consuming. And then look at those processes.
Man, Paul, I really appreciate you taking the time. I just think that people are going to be, you know, we see Chris everywhere, and he's so visible and so vocal. We don't really get a chance to talk to behind the scenes, and I just really appreciate you coming out and talking with us tonight. I know people got a lot of value from it. How can they get in touch with you, ask questions? What's the best way? Is it through ScanPower itself or Facebook, or what would you recommend?
It's so funny. There are at least three ways to contact everyone, and I wish there were only one sometimes, because you know, not because of the too much information, but you know, I don't like to miss talking with people, and especially when those are good questions and good ideas. I'm paul@scanpower.com. That's probably the best way to reach me. I'm also facebook.com/prutherford. You can send me a friend request. And Paul Rutherford on Twitter.
Okay. And I'll have all the links for all that for him. Paul, I really appreciate you taking the time tonight, and I wish you guys nothing but the continued success that you had, and in the future, even more success. Have a great night.
You too, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.